Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Pei Vav. We're going to begin four lines from the bottom, Pei Hei Omud Beis, and we're learning today, Le'ilu Nishmas, Estel Glass, Esther Bas Yitzchak. All the Nishmas we learned for should have aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety and the success of Chayalei Tzva Haganali Yisrael, and all the Kochos HaBitachon. They should be successful without any injuries in all of their endeavors. They should bring back the Chatufim B'mehera in good health, and there should be Shalom A Yisrael. Okay, we pick up Pei Hei Omud Beis, four lines from the bottom, with the words, Boi Rabba. Rabba asks the following Shaila. Sheves hapochas so bidomim mahu. What is the halacha if you have a wound? Rashi tells us in Dibra Matzah Sheves hapochas so he ko maka shu tzorich lishbos bimlachto. Somebody gets a wound, he's hit, he's hurt, and he can't go to work. However, this wound will eventually fully heal. The sofo lios sholem kibatrila. There will be no permanent sequelae, there will be no permanent damage from this wound, but for the next 2 weeks, he won't be able to go to work. Then kan elo sheves. There only, therefore, is the unemployment for the 2 week period of time, but there is no nezik, there is no damage over here on a permanent basis. So, therefore, do we in this situation say, well, for 2 weeks he's damaged, avo pochas o achshav bidomim, shim hoya bo limlocher achshav hoya domim pochasin, if you sell him on the slave market now, he'd be worth less than he would be when he was fully healed 2 weeks from now. So therefore, do we say that this is a damage that has to be paid, or is it just the unemployment that has to be paid? That's the question that Rabbah asked. And what it says, hey, chidomim, what exactly are we talking about? This damage that will heal itself, this wound or this maka that will heal itself. So the Gemara says, "Kegon sheiko ayado." He was hit on his hand, for example, with tsomso yado. Tsomso, Rashi tells us, is a foreign language word that basically means that it's shrunken, it's shriveled. Lashon tsomes hagidin, mokum shagidin tsomsen, where the gidin are coming together and they can get in some way shriveled up with this wound. So in this situation, these hand injuries that we're dealing with, vitzom soyado, caused this injury to his hand. However, vitzom falaso, but it's going to return back to full health in 2 weeks' time or some period of time. So Rabbi is asking, my, in this situation, do we say, kiven this ovalazar, lo yovle, lo midi, since it's going to fully be returned to its full functionality without any permanent sequelae or damage, so therefore you only pay for the unemployment? Or do we say, no, odilma, hashda mias abachse? Right now, he's worth less than he would be if he was sold 2 weeks hence from on the slave market. So right now he's worth $10,000. In 2 weeks' time, he'll be worth $12,000. So therefore, do you or do you not have to pay that temporary nezek? That's the question of Rabbah. Toshma, we're going to try to bring an answer from the following Mishnah, which is in tomorrow's Shia. And the Mishnah there will tell us, Hamake ovi v'imo, Rechmon al-Islam, if somebody hit their father or their mother, and normally for hitting your father or your mother, it'd be chayv misa. But here, below also ben chabur, you didn't make a permanent mark on them. So therefore, you're not chayiv misa in this situation. You only chayiv misa for hitting your parents if you make a permanent mark of some sort, if you make some sort of a damage. And therefore, in this situation where you didn't make a chabura, or achovel b'chaveru b'yom kippurim, or if you did damage to somebody on Yom Kippur, and on Yom Kippur, it would be a chayiv of kares if you went and did such a wound on Yom Kippur, and we turn to pei vavim alef. And in each of these situations, there is no chiyuv of misas based in, because with the parent, there normally would be a chiyuv of misas based in, but you didn't cause a chabura. And likewise, with Yom Kippur, when you made the damage on Yom Kippur, it's an issue of kares, it's not a misas based in, and therefore there is no kom lemi derabamine in this situation, and therefore the Gemara tells us, chayiv b'kulan, you're going to be chayiv for all five things, right? She says, the chamisha dvarim, nezek, tzar, ripu, sheves, and boshes. Now, hi, lo also bo chabura hechidami. What are we talking about when there was no wound that was made over here that we said that you're not chayiv misas based in? So in this situation, lav kigon shiko al yado. Aren't we talking about that he hit him on the hand where the tzomis gidim are v'sofa lasar, and it will eventually return to full functionality? And therefore, you see that even though there is no permanent damage here, uktani chayiv b'kulin. The Mishnah said you're chayiv even for the nezek, not only the tzar, ripui, sheves, and boshes. So here's the question asked and answered. Yes, you do have to pay even for this short-term nezek. Versus not necessarily so. Amre, you can answer that this is not talking about a short-term nezek. It's talking about a permanent nezek. Hochel mayaskinan kegon shecherisho below osa bochabura, where you made the person deaf. Rechmon al-Islan, the child hit his father, he hit him on the ear, and he made him deaf. And this is a permanent damage. It's not going to get better, but there is no chabura. So there's no wound over there, and that's why there is no din of kol mei midrabba mineh. And that's why there is no din of misas beis din. So Gemara says, no, that's not true. Vama rabba, rabba said, if you in fact, rachmana l'slam, would go hit your father in his ear and make him deaf, hacharish es aviv, narak, you would be chayv misas beis din, of course, with the proper warning, asra and edus, but in fact, even though there is no wound externally, you're chayiv nis in that situation. Why? Because it's impossible to have caused the father to become deaf without there being an internal maka, an internal chabura. Tipso de dama, a little bit of blood, nafil lebudne, must have congealed there inside his ear and caused the problem. So there's internal bleeding, and for that internal bleeding, that's why you're chayev misa in that situation. So that can't be what we're talking about over here, because that would be a wound that you would be chayev misa for. So it says, you're right. So then what are we talking about here, that the person's not chayev misa for hitting the father? So elohach may askinan kigon shegilcho, he shaved the head of his father. So therefore, in this situation, Rashi says, the avchasei mikaspei, you've made him worth less money on the open market, he's going to be worth less without hair, but below chabura, but there is no chabura over here. So here's a case where you wouldn't be chayiv misa for hitting your father. There is no chabura here, but you'd be chayiv for diminishing his value. Oh, if you're diminishing his value, you see that even though it's a temporary diminution of his value, so therefore you have to go pay it. Mara says, but that's exactly the question that we're asking. Gilcho hader hadar, the shaving of his head, well, guess what? It's going to take a few weeks, but his hair will grow back. And therefore, v'hainu bayim, that's exactly our question. You can't bring us a ride from there as to what the answer is. That is exactly our question. What would be the halacha if you did something like that? The Mishnah doesn't say that that's the case. So therefore, you can't explain that as being the case because that's our question. So it says, no, Amre, we would answer as follows. You know what we're talking about? Kigon she socho nasha, that you didn't just cut his hair with a razor, but you put some sort of a cream or some sort of a depilatory agent on his head that will be a permanent delo hadar. The hair will never grow back. So you did something over here that is not a wound. It's not something that would be chayiv misa for, but it's not going to be a temporary discontinuation of his hair. It's a permanent discontinuation of his hair. And therefore, we can't answer our question, what would be the halacha with a temporary nezek, because this is a permanent nezek. And therefore, that can't answer a question, and we're still left with Rabba's query. Where it says, well, what about the other four things? How could they occur over here that you'd be chayiv for them in this temporary situation where you put this depilatory agent on his head and it permanently destroyed all of his hair? So the Gemara says, the tzar, that's because when you put this depilatory agent on his head, the islay kartufne bereshe, it's going to cause some breaks, or bekoyim, Rashi says, bekoyim chatotin, it's going to cause scratches or some depressions in his head that are going to be painful. There are going to be cracks in his head. And therefore, then the girsa that we have is v'tzovche mehanu kartufne. So some change around the girsa to say v'tzovach, and he's going to scream because of the pain, and therefore that's the tzar. This is very painful to make these cracks in his head. Rashi has the girchor mitzavche le, mach even lo, mach mas chozek hasam, that the putting on of this depilatory agent, that's going to go and make these cracks in his scalp, and that's going to be very painful, and that's what it refers to. In any event, that's the tzar. Now, ripui, what is that? Well, you're going to have to go to the doctor to go and heal these breaks in his skin. Diboyi asuya, you need a doctor to go and take care of the pain and the breaks in his scalp. So that's the ripui. What's the sheves? The person can't work. So this is talking about specifically a specific type of job that the father had, and that was the hava mirakeid beikube. Rashi says mirakeid beikube means that it's a lashon merakeid b'chanuyos. He would go and dance in the various stores. So he would be an entertainer in the market, in the mall. So he would be one of those like guys that's juggling in the mall. And he would do all sorts of things. Others suggest that this was a bar. So he would be some sort of a court jester or a bar jester that would go and do various types of dancing and joking over there. So he was a batchin over there. Debaya machve gavne areshe, which means that he had to do various things with his head normally. As Rashi says, Mare Nianua, he would go and shake his head in certain ways. Barosho, Laharus Minisho, to do various funny things. Kidera Chalitzanim, the way these jesters would go and do this. And now the Hashta Achi Yisrape, and now because he's in pain, he can't do this. So Hano Kartufne, these cracks in his head, Lomotzi Machve, he's unable to go and make these motions with his head that he normally would be making. No, he could still be a worker. He could go and work in a factory. He could do other things. Nevertheless, since this was his job, since he was the jester in the stores, he was the guy that would entertain the customers. He would be the guy that would entertain the people in the bar. So therefore, that's his job, and therefore you have to pay him for unemployment because he can't do that now because of the cracks are very painful. He can't make the head motions that he normally would. And because of these cracks, he can't go and make these head motions. Okay, then the boshes, what is that? Says, there's no greater embarrassment over here than him having been applied this depilatory agent on his head, and he has all these cracks on his head, and he's not able to work and do his normal things, so there's no bigger boshes than that. So that's the four things besides the nezek that we have to pay in this situation. Okay, so we don't answer Rabbah's question yet. So the Gemara tells us that question that Rabbah had was easily answered, however, by Abaye and Rava, albeit in totally different ways. Umulsa debay leila Rabbah, pshita leila Abaye lahakisa ula Rava lahakisa. Rabbah didn't know the answer. He'd asked this question, do you not have to pay for this temporary nezek? Even though it's going to get better, the functionality will return. So for the two-week period of time that it's not there, do you have to pay for it or not? So Abaye answered it definitively one way, and Rava answered it, pum fakir, definitively the other way. And where do we see this? The Itmar, because it said, he koa yodovit samsa, if a person got a mark on his hand, and it had this temporary shriveling up of his hand, that would only be for the two-week period of time, the sofa lachzo, but then it would return to full functionality. So Abaye says, Abaye Omar, no sein lo sheves gedola, v'sheves ketana. He has to pay sheves gedola. Sheves gedola is a reference, Rashi says, d'mei yodo. That's for the temporary nezek that's done over here. So Abaye definitively answers the question that yes, you have to pay for this temporary nezek, and v'sheves ketana, that's the unemployment for the 2 weeks period of time. It's called sheves over here for two different things. It's called sheves for the nezek, that's sheves gedola, and it's called sheves for the unemployment, that's called sheves ketana. As Rashi says, kol yomim shiipo lemishkov, for the days that he's not able to work, ro naso kilu hu shomer kishum. You view him as if he was a worker watching the cucumbers, and therefore that's what he would be paid for the unemployment, and then you pay him for the actual damage for the two-week period of time. So Abaye answered the question definitively, yes, there is such nezek that you have to pay. Whereas Rava says, pum faker. The Rava Amar, no, eino nosi lo elo deme shifto, shevucho yom yom. You only pay him for the unemployment, that he can't work. As Rashi says, ashi yachzir likad musu, until he returns back to the way he was beforehand. So therefore you have to pay him for being unemployed during this period of time. Nosi lo bucho yom, kimo shiniskarim paalim b'shuk. Here you pay him for how much he would get if he was a worker in the shuk. He'd go into the place where they're looking for workers, and he would get paid more than just a shomer kishuin. For lo kishomer kishuin, he wouldn't get the limited amount for a shomer kishuin, because here he could really work. The holy rova lo yov le dami yada, because here there's no damage that you're paying him for the temporary non-functionality, and therefore you have to pay him like a regular full worker that he would work if there was work available for him. So therefore, Rava says you don't pay for the nezek, and Abaye says you definitely do pay for the nezek. Itmar, they learned in the Beis Medrash, Hakoteya Yad Eved Ivri Shochaveiro, if somebody went and cut off the hand of an Eved Ivri of his friend, so the friend owned an Eved Ivri, again, you don't really own an Eved Ivri, but he's in the possession of this Eved Ivri for the up to 6 years that the Eved Ivri is working for him, and then the person who damages went and cut off the hand of this Eved Ivri. So Abaye Omar Abaye Paskins, and he says, no sein lo sheves gedola lo Eved. Abaye, who said a moment ago that there is this sheves gedola and sheves ketana, so who do you pay the sheves gedola to in this situation? So he says you pay it to the Eved, because after all, the Eved is the one, the Eved Ivri here, is the one that's going to eventually go free, and he's going to suffer the loss of his hand. So therefore, he gets the sheves gedola, he gets the nezek over here. But the unemployment, that goes to the owner of the Eved Ivri, because after all, he already paid for the Eved Ivri to work for him. Either the Eved Ivri sold himself because he was destitute, or the Beis Din sold him to pay back the gneva that the Eved Ivri had done. So therefore, the owner already has paid for his work, so therefore the fact that he can't work right now, so that money he's entitled to. So Abaye says you split it. The Sheves Gedola, the Nezek, that goes to the Eved Ivri himself. But the unemployment, that goes to the owner of the Eved Ivri. That's Abaye's opinion. Rav Amar, Hakol Yinosein. Now the Girsa that we have is Lo Eved, that everything goes to the Eved. Everything goes to this Eved Ivri. V'ilokach ben karka, but he will go and purchase with the money that he gets karka, and the master, the owner of this Eved Ivri, is entitled, V'arav Ochel Peros, is entitled to get the usufruction of this produce, the land, the produce that comes from this land, he's entitled to, because after all, he owns the rights to the Eved Ivri is working. Since the Eved Ivri can't work, and this now is being paid to the Eved Ivri because he can't work, so therefore, the owner gets the right to use this land that is purchased. That's the gears that we have. Tosus points out, he says, Rav Amar Inosin Akol L'Rav. You give everything to the owner of the Eved Ivri, and this is also the Girsa Garsina, the Chayin Garas Rabbeinu Hananel, and this is the more correct Girsa according to Tosos. In any event, the Gemara continues says, Pshita, it's also partial, it's clear, Piches Esel Atzmo. If this Eved Ivri was damaged, but it was only he that suffered the damage. We'll explain what this means in a moment in Gemara. Veitzel Rabba, but the owner of the Eved Ivri, lo piches, he didn't suffer at all from this damage. What would be the case? Hechidami, what are we talking about? So, for example, the paske l'resh une, where the person who did the makkah had cut off either the tip of his ear, resh une, or o l'resh nechiri, or the tip of his nose. So, the functionality of this Eved Ivri is not changed. He can still plow. He can still carry packages, whatever he was doing for the owner. So the owner didn't suffer any loss in this situation. It's only the Eved Ivri that lost his tip of his ear or the tip of his nose. So that damage, hakol liatzmo. So the Eved Ivri receives 100% of that damage from the one who hurt him. However, Piches said so rabo, but if it was only the functionality of the Eved that was impacted was for the master. For example, he had this wound that would heal. So in that situation, so that's the machlokas pluksu d'abaye v'rava. Then we get into the machlokas d'abaye and rava as to what each one would get, like we just brought down. Abaye said in this situation, no sin l'sheves gedolu la'eved, l'sheves k'tana l'rav, and rava said, hakol you no sin la'eved, according to the gears that we have, v'lo kach b'em karka v'rav ocho peros. Okay. Now we go, the Mishnah said that Boshes, when you pay the damages of Boshes, embarrassment, hakol if you mevayish v'mispayish, it will all depend on the person who is embarrassing and the person who is being embarrassed, that it will be dependent upon their status. Some people will be much more embarrassed than other people. The more chashev you are, it makes sense to think that if somebody were to slap you, if somebody were to spit on you, it's a much bigger embarrassment as opposed to if you're a Bowery bum. And likewise, vice versa. If the king goes and embarrasses you, that's a much bigger busha than if somebody else goes and embarrasses you. So the Gemara asks, who is the author of our Mishnah that holds it depends on the person who's embarrassing and the person who's being embarrassed? It's money must need. Who's the author of our Mishnah? It doesn't appear to jibe with the opinions, which we'll see in a moment, lo Rabbi Meir, lo Rabbi Yehuda, el Rabbi Shimon hi. It doesn't appear to go along our Mishnah with the opinions of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, which we'll say in a minute, but it does go along with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, which we'll say from the following brides of the Tanan. Now that's the gears that we have. But if you look in the Masoras HaShas, Oz Dalit, it says it should be Ditanya. It's really a Brisa, not a Mishnah. And it tells us, V'chulon, what is it referring to? So Rashi explains this, V'chulon is referring to both poor people and rich people, if they are embarrassed. So it says, Ro'on Oson, we view them, Ki'ilu heim b'nei chorin, she'odun l'chaseim. We view all people the same. The Tanakama, which is Reb Meir, so he holds that all Jewish people are the same, she'im b'nei Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and therefore, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, we view you all as being chosh of the people, and therefore, the embarrassment that you cause to some yid is the same, no matter whether they're a very, very wealthy person or whether a very, very poor person. Even if they're destitute, there is a similar busha because all of us are the sons of Abram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. A beautiful idea that there is no distinction in Klal Yisrael based upon monetary valuations. Divrei Rav Meir, that's Rav Meir's opinion. Now, Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer, no. Hagadol lefi gudlo. No, a richer person will suffer more embarrassment. It's not what we ideally would like, that there should be differences in Klal Yisrael, but that's the bottom line. A rich person will be embarrassed more. So hagadol lefi gudlo. If you're a very wealthy person and somebody embarrasses you, it's a bigger busha. Vakotel lefi katno. And a person who's less wealthy, that's the way we're understanding gadol and katon right now, so such a person will not be embarrassed as much. That's the opinion of Yehuda. And then we have the third opinion, Rabbi Shimon, which we said is in jibe with our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ashirin, Rono So, Kilohein Bene Chorin, Shiod Min Chosein. Rich people are all viewed the same way. They're viewed, no matter how wealthy they are, they're viewed as people that are very chashev people, but they lost all their wealth, and therefore they're all one category. It's the poor people that are viewed differently. So Rabbi Shimon agrees with the Tanakhama, Rabbi Meir, in regards to the rich people. However, aniim kipkusin shaben. But he doesn't say they're all the same. He says the poor people, you view them as if they're the poorest of the poor people, and how much embarrassment they would suffer will be less than obviously the wealthier people. So we have these three opinions, Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, and Reb Shimon. And Gemara says money, and we delete the word hashta according to the Masoras HaShas. So how do we explain our Mishnah to say that our Mishnah goes in accord with Rabbi Shimon and not with the opinions of Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda? Because, Rabbi Meir, if you want to tell me that's Reb Meir's opinion, our Mishnah says, Masnisin Kutani, Hakol V'yamavayish V'misbayish. It goes according to your standing. And Reb Meir says, Reb Meir, Kulu B'hadei Adodininu. He says, no, everybody's the same. So obviously our Mishnah can't be Reb Meir. No, maybe it's Reb Yehuda, the Reb Yehuda. If you want to tell me our Mishnah is Reb Yehuda, it also can't be, because our Mishnah tells us, now, this isn't the part that we read in the Mishnah, this is continuation of the Mishnah, we'll see later in the Shia today, the Mishnah continues and says, Masnisin Kirtani, HaMevayish Esasuma, if a person is Mevayish Esasuma, and it also lists some other people over there, then you're going to be Chayav. Now, that's the opinion of the Tanakhama. But the Ilu Reb Yehuda Omer, but we know in a Brisa that Reb Yehuda's opinion is that Suma ain't no boshes. He disagrees and said a Suma doesn't have the demon of Busha. There is no payment of Busha from a Suma or to a Suma. So Reb Yehuda says that a Suma ain't no boshes. So therefore, he can't be the author of our Mishnah because that Mishnah says that Tani Hamavayish es a Suma, you're going to be Chayim. So obviously, he can't be Reb Yehuda. And as we pointed out a minute ago, can't be Reb Meir. Elalav Rabbi Shimon. The only possibility is that our author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. Now, Rabbi Shimon had said that we distinguish between very rich people and very poor people. So therefore, that can be Hakol Lifi Hamivayish Vamizbayish. Oh, so Rabbi Shimon must be the author of our Mishnah. Where it says, no, it doesn't have to only be Rabbi Shimon. We can even fit it in with Rabbi Yehuda. Afilu tamer Rabbi Yehuda. We just said, Kiyama Rabbi Yehuda, that Suma in Loboshes, we just brought down from the Braisa, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Suma can't be embarrassed. That's only Lemishkal Minei. That is to go and have others make him pay if he humiliated them. A person who's a Suma doesn't have to pay the penalty of Boshes. However, Lemes Vale, but if you go and embarrass the Suma, Yavina Le. So he does agree that you can have that. So therefore, he could be the author of our Mishnah as well. Where it says that's not simply not true. Because, Vav Miktani Sefer, the Mishnah continues and says, Hamavayish Sayoshin, that was the next category that the Mishnah had. We didn't read that yet. But if you go and embarrass a person that is sleeping, it says, you're Chayev. Now, V'yashein, but if a person who's sleeping does something in his sleep unintentionally and he embarrasses somebody else, shabiyesh, so then he's potter, because as we'll learn in that Mishnah, it has to be intention to do the action, even though it's not intention to embarrass, but it's an intention to do the action that you're chayef for. If you have no intention, you're sleeping, so then you're going to be potter. Now, in the second part, it just said v'yashein shabiyesh potter. It did not say v'loktani suma shabiyesh potter. It didn't say the suma who does this is going to be potter. Implication being, miklal, the lo shna hachi, the lo shna hachi, that a Suma has to go and pay, whether he's the cause of the humiliation or he's the one that gets humiliated, he'll be entitled to get that money if he's humiliated, and he'll have to pay. So obviously, this opinion is Rav Yehuda's opinion, and it doesn't go like the opinion of our Mishnah, which said that the Suma doesn't have to go and pay if he embarrasses. So our Mishnah had said that Masnisin Ktani Hamavayish Esasuma is Chayev, which Rav Yehuda hold that he's not. So obviously that option of saying our Mishnah is like Rav Yehuda is wrong. And in fact, the original always said, El HaMachbarta, it's white, it's clear. Masnisin Rabbi Shimon, the only one that we can make jibe with our Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, not Rabbi Yehuda, and certainly not Rabbi Meir. Now the Gemara asks the following Shaila. Mon Tana Lohod Tana Rabban. Who's the author of the following Braisa? Which one of these three Tanoim could be the author of this Braisa? Niskavin Lebayesh Esakotan. However, instead of embarrassing the Katan, Ubiyesh Esagodol, he went and embarrassed the Godol. Now here we're talking about the definition. Right now we're assuming Katan and Godol is a Katan is a poor person, a smaller person, in the sense that he doesn't have such financial chashivos, and the Godol is one who has a big person, he has a lot of financial chashivos. So the person intended to embarrass the less wealthy person, the katan, and instead he embarrassed the wealthy person. So what's the halacha? The Braisa says, no sin like gadol devei bo shtoshel katan. He only has to pay as if he'd embarrassed the less financially well-off person. Likewise, levayis is for eved, if a person intended to go and embarrass an eved, and here we're talking about an eved kinani, but instead ubiyesh es ben chorin, and instead of embarrassing the eved kinani, he embarrassed a ben chorin, a regular Yiddish person. So no sin le ben chorin demei bo shtoshel eved. So he has to go and pay to the ben chorin the amount of money that he would have had to pay for embarrassing the eved kinani. And we'll talk about more of that in a second. So this is what the Braisa says. Mani, who is the author of the Braisa? Now here we have a problem. It doesn't seem to fit any of them. Lo Rav Meir, Lo Rav Yehuda, Lo Rav Shimon. It doesn't seem to fit any of the three opinions that we learned. Why not? Because Kol Sol Kedaitoch Katon Kato Ben Chosim and Gadol Gadol Ben Chosim. Right now, the way we're understanding the Braisa is when it said a small person, it meant a small financial person, not so Chosim. He's not such a rich guy. And when it meant the Gadol, it meant a very wealthy guy. So therefore, how do we understand this? Rav Meir, if you're telling me according to Rav Meir, Rav Meir makes no distinction. It certainly can't be Rav Meir. He says we don't distinguish between a rich person and a poor person, and this Braisa seems to make a distinction between a rich person and a poor person. So obviously it can't be Rav Meir. No, you can tell me Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda said, we're going to learn in tomorrow's Shia that Rav Yehuda holds that an Eved Kenani doesn't get paid if you embarrass him. There is no din of Boshes for an Eved Kenani. And this Braisa said that there is Boshes, albeit it may be less than for a Ben Chorin, but there is a penalty for Boshes. So it can't be Rabbi Yehuda. I can tell me if he's Rabbi Shimon. The only opinion left is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds, we'll see in a moment why, that if you intended to embarrass A, but instead you embarrass B, you're actually Potter. You don't pay anybody. Why? My time off. Because he learns it out from killing, kitala, like killing somebody. That the opinion of Rabbi Shimon is that ma ketolo adim iskavin lei, if you intended to go kill A, but instead you killed B, he says you're not chayv misa, because the pasuk tells us the orav lo become a love, that you intended to go and kill this person. You waited for him, you ambushed this person, and then you attacked him. So ad shi iskavin lo, you have to have intention for this specific person, and you didn't. So in that situation, by ketala, you're not going to be chayiv. So too, Rabbi Shimon says, the same halacha applies in terms of busha, boshes nami, adim iskavin lei. You have to specifically have to go and embarrass that person. And it's also based upon a pasuk, d'chsev, v'sholcha yada v'erzika b'mvushav. The woman sees her husband being attacked, and she goes and grabs the other guy in the general areas. So, v'sholcha yada v'erzika b'mvushav. So, in that situation, she embarrassed him. So, she has to have achi skavilo. She has to have embarrassed that person. If she grabbed somebody else by accident, there would need be no penalty of busha. So, again, this Braisa doesn't fit with the three and only three opinions that we know. It doesn't fit with Remei, it doesn't fit with Yehuda, it doesn't fit with Shimon. So Mori says, no. Leolim Rabbi Yehuda. In fact, the Braisa could be authored by Rabbi Yehuda. Why is that? Because the Chi Kama Rabbi Yehuda Ein La'avod in Boshes, that which we said that Rabbi Yehuda holds that an Eved doesn't have a din of Boshes, that's only Lemeis V'Lehu, that's only to give it to him. You don't have to go and pay if you embarrass this Eved. There is a amount of embarrassment that he gets. And in this situation, I will Lemeisham to see how much he is embarrassed. And then if you embarrass a Yid, so then, Shaminabu, you figure out what the embarrassment would be for the Eved Kenani, albeit you don't have to pay it to the Eved Kenani, but you do have to go and give it. Now that you are Biyish as Ben Chorin, you have to go and pay it according to Rav Yehuda. So therefore, the Braisa goes, in fact, according with Rav Yehuda. Alternatively, you could even fit the Braisa with Rav Meir. Now, Rav Meir said that we don't make any distinction between a rich person and a poor person. He holds we all treat them the same as the children of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, so we could change around the definition of Gadol and Katan, though, and fit it in with Meir. Who says, Mi Sarvis Gadol means Gadol bin Chasim, and Katan means Katan bin Chasim? Who says that Gadol meant a wealthy person, and Katan meant a poor person? No, that's not what it means. Gadol meant Gadol Mamish. It meant an adult, a person above the age of Bar Mitzvah. And Katan meant a Katan Mamish, a person below the age of Bar Mitzvah. And therefore, the embarrassment that you pay for a person above the age of Bar Mitzvah is greater than the embarrassment that you pay for a person that is in fourth grade, below the age of Bar Mitzvah. Mor says, really? The Katan Bar Boshes? Who? Is there a din of Boshes by a fourth grader, by a kid that's under the age of Bar Mitzvah? And Mor says, yes, in. There is, in fact, a din of embarrassment, albeit it's going to be less than with a Gadol, with an adult, but kids can also be embarrassed. And Kedam Rapapa, as we'll see in the Omid Beis, will have two times that Rapapa teaches us his din, the Michlamu Lei U Michlam, that the Katan can go and embarrass and can be embarrassed himself. And we'll see what that is talking about when we get to the Omid Beis. So Hachanami over here too. And now we turn to the Omid Beis, Peivav Omid Beis, and therefore the Michlamu Lei U Michlam. So this could be talking, even according to Rav Meir, that Gadol and Katan are dealing with a above age by mitzvah person and a below age by mitzvah person, and there is in fact a din of humiliation, there is a din of boshes even for a katan below the age of bar mitzvah. Okay, and now we'll see more about this in the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hamavayish es arum, if you went and embarrassed a person that is not clothed, a person who's naked, Hamavayish es arum, or Hamavayish es asuma, or if you embarrass a blind person, or Hamavayish es yoshen, we have these last two cases on the Omer Aleph, or if you embarrass a person that's sleeping, in all of these situations, you are chayiv. You're liable to pay him for the embarrassment that you caused this naked person, the blind person, or the sleeping person. However, it then tells us specifically only about the Yoshan. The Yoshan, the person who's sleeping, Shabiesh, he did something in his sleep unintentionally. He, let's say, knocked down a pot and it had some foul-smelling thing, and he knocked down a chamber pot on his friend and he made it foul-smelling and he embarrassed him very much. So he did this in his sleep. He had no intention to do this. The Yoshan Shabiesh is Potter because he had no intention to do so. And the Mesoros HaShas adds, because Shenemar, Vishalcha Yodo Verzika Mimivushov, so Enu Chayev Alaboshes. He comes and adds this, the Marshal adds this in the Mesoros HaShas to tell us that in this situation, you're a potter. You don't have to go and pay based upon this pasuk. It has to be miskavim to that particular person. Then the Mishnah continues and says, Nafal Menagag, if somebody fell off from a rooftop, Vihizik, he fell and landed on somebody, Ubiyesh, and he embarrassed that person because that person was now dressed in a nice suit, and all of a sudden they're on the floor in the mud, and they're all filthy, and they're very embarrassed. So, Chayv al Nezik, you only have to pay for the damage to the suit. Okay, you'll have to go take the suit to the cleaners. That you have to pay for because Adamu Liolam. However, Upatar al Aboshes, you don't have to pay for the embarrassment because you had no intention of doing this. You fell off the roof. And you had no intention of embarrassing this person or even landing on this person. Unless you intended to somehow go and land on him. You said, I'm going to land on my back and break my back. I better land on that person. And you shift and you somehow land on that person. He breaks your fall. So then in that situation, you would be chayav for boshes as well. Okay. Gemara starts, it says, Baishu Orom Chayev. If you go embarrass a person who's naked, so then you are going to go and have to pay for embarrassment. But of course, the embarrassment of a clothed person is going to be greater than the embarrassment of a person who's naked, because the person's already naked, and therefore he obviously doesn't expect to have a lot of self-esteem in this situation because he's naked. So therefore, the embarrassment to him is much less. Now, if you embarrass somebody in a bathhouse where people are also unclothed, you have to pay him for the embarrassment. But of course, since he's in a bathhouse and he's not fully clothed, so the embarrassment factor there is going to be less than if you embarrass him in the middle of the mall, in the middle of the marketplace. That's the brisa. Now, we go dissect the first part of the brisa. It says, Baisho Arum Chayev. So if you embarrass somebody who's naked, you are in fact have to pay him for embarrassing him. Gemara says, really? Arum Barboshes, so the guy's naked. How come there is a penalty? He's already as embarrassed as you could be by walking around naked in public. So the Gemara says, no, there still is a boshes over here because Amar Rapapa says, what does it mean when it means that we're saying he was naked, Arum? It doesn't mean he was totally naked. My Arum, what does Arum mean? It means that the wind came, the Osozika, a wind came, and Karchinu Limone, and it blew up his clothing. They used to wear togas. They used to wear garments without necessarily having pants on. So a man wearing pants, the wind's not going to blow it up. But the famous picture, I'm embarrassed to say, I remember this picture, seeing Marilyn Monroe walking underneath some sort of a fan and her dress being blown up. So the famous picture, something like that, the also zikar kachinu lemoni. And in that situation, the wind came and already embarrassed you, so you're somewhat naked, and then the also who, and dalinu tfeyu baishe. And now the guy comes along and says, oh, it's really funny. Look at his knees are seen, and then he pulls it up higher so you can see his thighs. So therefore, in that situation, even though we call him naked, you can, in fact, assess that there's additional busha if you go and lift it up even higher. So that's what we're talking about. That's where Papa's teretz. Then the Brisa continued and said, Baishu Beis HaMerchatz Chayiv. If you embarrass somebody in the Beis HaMerchatz, the Chayiv. And more sense, again, you're naked over there. Beis HaMerchatz Bar Boshesu. How can you embarrass somebody? He's naked. So the fact that you're embarrassing him, it just doesn't carry a lot of weight because the guy is not dressed. So when it says again, Omer Rapapa, Rapapa tells us, we're not talking about a typical bathhouse where people are naked. We're talking Shabbai Shal Gabay Anor. The guy is lifting up his feet a little bit. He wants to go and cool off his feet in the river. So he rolls up his pants a little bit. He rolls up his toga that he's wearing a little bit, and he puts his feet in the water. And another guy comes along and says, oh, this will be really funny. And he pulls it up much more. And that's why there is a din, a busha, to these people that are, quote, naked, because they're not really naked. Now we have the following shiloh. Boy, Rabbi Abba Bar Mamul says, when we look at a person who's asleep and we say that he's embarrassed, why do we say that the guy's embarrassed? Is it because he's eventually going to wake up and know what happened to him? he wakes up and he sees all of a sudden he thought he was covered up, and now he's not covered up, and everybody's laughing at him, or they painted him all red while he was asleep, and now he's embarrassed that he's painted. Or is it because the act of the painting, the act of doing whatever they did to him, that action, you have to pay for that embarrassment, even though he doesn't know it yet? And the nafkamina will be if he dies before he wakes up. So that's the question that Rabbi Abba Rav Mamel asks. Baisho yoshein umeis. He was embarrassed while he's asleep, but then he never woke up. And therefore, he never realized that he was embarrassed. Mahu, what's the halacha? The Gemara says, my kol habayle. What are we actually asking over here? As I've already explained, as now Rav Zvid tells us, I'm Rav Zvid. Hachi kol habayle. This is the question. Do we say mishum kisufu? It's only because he's embarrassed. And therefore, in this situation, the guy died of a heart attack in his sleep. He never knew he was embarrassed, and therefore, there is no payment for embarrassment because the guy never got embarrassed. Or do we say no? He was publicly made fun of. Everybody sees him in this funny state, in this embarrassed state. So even though he doesn't know about it, he was degraded. Everybody was laughing. So the fact that he doesn't know about it is irrelevant. Was he degraded? Yes, and you have to pay for degrading him. That's the question that Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel asked, as explained by Rav Zvid. So we try to bring a raya from the following braisa, Toshma. Rabbi Meir Omer, this is the opinion of Rabbi Meir, Cheresh V'Katan, if a person is a deaf mute, V'Katan, or a child under the age of Bar Mitzvah, Yeshlam Boshes. There is a concept of embarrassing them. However, a shota, a person nebuch who's deranged, the person who is a lav bar das, he's nebuch crazy, so ain lo boshes. You can't embarrass such a person. Now, if you're telling me it's because the person actively did the degradation, and it doesn't mean that the person who was asleep has to wake up and know about it, but the act of degradation, that's the zilusa, that's what you're paying for, so then, now we understand why it says that a katan can be embarrassed. Because it's not talking about the katan's feeling of embarrassment, it's the fact that you degraded him. Ella, however, but if you're telling him no, it's because the person who's sleeping knows that he's been embarrassed, and therefore if he doesn't wake up, so then there is no payment. So then, if that's the reasoning, so then katan by boshesu, is a katan in fact able to be embarrassed? Now we'll see in a moment the Rav Papa says, yes, he can be, and that's the Rav Papa that we refer to on the Omer Aleph, but we'll get to that in a second. So the Gemara says, okay, so you want to tell me it's because of Zilusa, the act that you actually degraded him publicly. So am I, Mishum Zilusa? Is that the reasoning? So then, why does the Shota not have this? Afilu Shota Nami, the Shota was publicly degraded. The fact that he doesn't experience the degradation because he's a Shota should be irrelevant. So what it says, Amri, you're right. Shota ain lecha boshes gedola mizu. The poor Shota, you can't embarrass him anymore because he's already so degraded then by being crazy, by being a Shota. So therefore, there is no embarrassment even though you degraded him because he's already so degraded. But the katan is not degraded, and therefore there is a din of embarrassment, and therefore we can bring a raya that it's the zilusa and not the chisufa. It's the act of degrading him and not the fact that he subjectively feels embarrassed. So the Gemara says, "Mikol makom nifsho mino d'mishum zilusu." So let us answer the question: d'mishum kisufo katan bar kisufo? Because again, as we pointed out, can the katan be embarrassed? No, we're working with right now, and therefore it must be the zilusa, the act of degrading him, and not the subjective sense of humiliation, because the katan doesn't have that sense. And here's where we have Rav Papa coming to answer: no, kidama Rav Papa, as Rav Papa taught us, and he's going to do it one more time, and that's the real place where we learn from the michlum ulei umichlum sohachanami the michlum mei umichlum, because the katan can embarrass and can be embarrassed, as Rav Papa will teach us in a few moments, and so too over here we say the same teretz. Now, Rav Papa Amar Hachi Komaboyle. Rav Papa had a different understanding of Rav Zvid than the question, the way that Rav Zvid understood the question of Rav Abba Bar Mamel, and he said this was the question: Mishum Kisufa Didehu V'ha Ma'isle. Was it because of the embarrassment that the person who's sleeping would feel when he wakes up, and here since he died, he doesn't feel it? Odilma mishum boshes mishpacha, not the boshes, the act of degrading the person, but the fact that the family is going to be embarrassed. That's the way Rav Papa understood the question of Rav Abba Mamel. Do we say it's the person who's actually embarrassed, and if he doesn't know about it because he dies before he wakes up, so then there is no embarrassment? Or do we say no, the family still knows about it, and the family's embarrassed, and therefore there is going to be a payment for boshes? So we try to bring a raya from the following braisa that we just brought down. Toshma, Rav Meir had said, Cheresh v'katan yesh lo boshes. both the Chayrish and the Katan do have a din of Boshes. Now, again, if you're telling me because the family was embarrassed, so therefore the Chayrish and the Katan, the family of them are embarrassed, so therefore we understand. So we understand why a Katan is included over here, because the family is embarrassed that their Katan was embarrassed. However, but if you're telling me it's for the embarrassment of the Katan, again, Katan bar Boshes, who is a Katan capable of being embarrassed? So therefore, the Gemara says no, and therefore Elamai, it must be Mishum Boshes Dibnei Mishpacha, and therefore that is the reasoning. So if the Gemara says if it's because of the embarrassment of the family, so then Afilu Shotanami. Why did it say a Shota has no such embarrassment? The family should be embarrassed if the Shota is embarrassed. The Gemara says no, because the Shota is so embarrassed already by being a Shota. Shota in Raboshes Gidola Mizu. How could you possibly embarrass this Shota who's walking around doing all sorts of crazy things all the time? There's nothing you can do to embarrass him already more than he's already embarrassed. No, the bottom line is, where it says, we call Mokum, let's answer the question then. The answer is because of the Boshes Mishpacha, and that's why the Katan can, in fact, family can be embarrassed, because the Katan is embarrassed. Because the Ibishum Kisufa, if you're telling me it's the Katan that's embarrassed, so then Katan Bar Kisufu, is the Katan actually capable of suffering embarrassment? And here's where we finally have Rapapa telling us, I'm Rapapa in. Rapapa tells us, yes, a Katan can be embarrassed, the Michlamule Umichlam. I think I misspoke before when I translated it. The real way to translate it is, the Michlam lay, you embarrass him, Umichlam, and he becomes embarrassed. Not that he embarrasses. The Katan doesn't have any responsibility for embarrassing. He can embarrass somebody else. However, there's no penalty because he's a Katan. But in any event, the Michlam lay, you go and embarrass him, Umichlam, and he will become embarrassed. Rapapa says, the Katan can become embarrassed, and I'll bring you a Braisa that supports me, Rapapa says. Vatanya, the Braisa, Rashi says, Benichusa, normally Vatanya means a question, but here, about 10% of the time, it means, and I'll bring you a Raya, Benichusa. Chusa for Tanya, it says in the following brisa, Rabbi Omer, Yehuda Nasi says, Cheresh Eish Loboshes, a person who's deaf can be embarrassed. Shote Ein Loboshes, but a Shote is Nebuch, is so deranged, so he can't be embarrassed. A Katan, Pamim Yeishlo, Pamim Ein Lo. It depends on the Katan. Sometimes he can be embarrassed, and sometimes he's not embarrassed. And Rapop explained that. Ho Demich Mulei Umichlam. If the Katan is of the age, well, he's below the age of bar mitzvah. If you embarrass him, so he is embarrassed, so then that's a katan that can be embarrassed. But, you know, you undress a three-year-old in public, or the kid has to go to the bathroom, and he just goes off to the side and goes to the bathroom, so then for an older child, that would be embarrassing. So for an older child, he can experience such embarrassment. But for this younger child, you embarrass him, below Michlam, he doesn't become embarrassed, he's too young. So therefore, Rapapa says, we can make distinctions between a katan who can be embarrassed and a katan who can't be embarrassed. But the bottom line is, a katan can suffer embarrassment if he's old enough. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, we said that if you go and cause embarrassment to a blind person, so then the person who caused such embarrassment is going to have to pay. Now, we want to suggest Masnisa in the local Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah doesn't accord with what Rabbi Yehuda said. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? The Tanya. We have a Braisa that says Rabbi Yehuda Omer Suma Ein Lo Boshes. This is the Braisa we referred to earlier in this year. A Suma doesn't have Boshes. You can't go and be Mechayev a Suma if he goes and embarrasses someone else. Why is that? Based upon the Pesukim. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer Suma Ein Lo Boshes. The Kachayor Rabbi Yehuda Poter, and he says he also was Poter the following people, all based upon Pesukim, as we'll see in a second. Mechayav Yigolios, Mechayav Yimalkios, Mechayav Yimisus Beisden. A blind person is never going to be Chayav Golos if he, Rechmon Lusan, killed somebody accidentally. He's not going to be Chayav Malkus if he did a sin that would normally be Chayav Yimalkus. And he likewise won't be Chayav Mises Beisden if he did something that normally would get you Chayav Mises Beisden. Now, what's the reasoning over here? So we'll do one at a time. They're all based upon Pesukim. My time to review that. Why does review to say that a blind person doesn't have to go and pay for Boshes if he caused somebody to be embarrassed? So we learn this out through Xerishava Gomar Einecho Einecho Me'edim Zomimim. Rashi explains, now there's no real Dibur HaMaskel over here, it's in the middle with the two dots of the Rashi, it starts with Dibur HaMaskel, below Rabbi Yehuda, so it's a few lines into that, where it, Rashi tells us, Be'edim Zomim Siv, the Pasuk tells us, Lo Sochos Einecha Olav, and in regards to Boshes, Rashi tells us, it also tells us over there, Be'katzosa Es Kapa, Lo Sochos Einecha. So we have the Gzeir Shava, Einecha, Einecha, Mahasam Sumin Lo, and there, in regards to Edim Zomim, we know that a blind person can't be an aid, because he can't see, and therefore, if you can't be involved in the dinim of Edim Zomim, so then, because of the Gzeir Shava, Einecha, Einecha, you also can't be involved in the dinim of Boshes. Now, there's a very, very strong question here in the Gilyan HaShas, Rekiva Eger, he says, Tamuali, I'm shocked over here. Hayacho lahayit, a blind person can testify, Shira kodem shenistame. The blind person saw something while he still had vision, and now he no longer can see, but he can still testify that yesterday when I had vision, I saw this. Shezeh kata yado, so he could say, yeah, I saw Reuven cut off Shimon's hand. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva Eger first leaves it with a tzarich ian. But then he answers it himself. He says, there's a certain way to understand it based upon psukim. The Gemara's elsewhere tell us, atosis above a basra. So there is a way to answer it up. In any event, it's a good kasha. So that's how we learn out the Gzeir Shav of Einecha, Einecha, to teach us that a sumo, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is not able to be liable if he goes and embarrasses somebody else. He doesn't have to pay. Now, the second statement the Rabbi Yehuda made was that likewise, if you're going to be Chayiv Golus, a person who kills somebody accidentally, so that doesn't apply to a sumo. Where do we know that from? The Tanya, we learned another Baisa, the Pasuk tells us, below Reos, in regards to a person who goes and kills inadvertently, it says, Obuchol Eden, Asher Yomus Ba, below Reos, Vayapel Lo Vayamos, that the person who accidentally killed somebody didn't see. In other words, they have to be somebody that normally can see. So, Prat Lesuma, Divri Rehuda. So that's where Rehuda learns it out. No, Rameya disagrees. Rameya Omer, Lerabos is a Suma. Rameya says, this comes to specifically include a Suma in the din of killing a person inadvertently, a Horeg Bishkoga. Now, what's the rationale for each shita? My time of the Rehuda, why does Rehuda exclude the Suma? Because he says, Amalach, he tells you, the Pasuk says, Vasher Yavo Esreyo Bayar Lachto Veitzel. A person goes into the forest to go and chop wood. Now, that would mean anybody. It doesn't exclude anybody. Any person. Afilu Suma. So the basic pasuk tells me that it would include a suma, and therefore kasa rachmana below raos is limute suma, comes to go and exclude a suma. That's the way Rav Yehuda understands it. Now Rav Meir disagrees. Rav Meir kasa rachmana below raos. He says the Torah tells us that he can't see. That's the miut, and it excludes a suma. But then it says because of rachmana bibli das. It says without knowledge that comes limute a suma again. So we have two miutim to go and be mamayit a suma. Oh. This is, however, heavy miut achar miut, they miut achar miut el rabos. When you have a double negative, so to say, so then it actually is a positive. So you're telling me, not a suma, not a suma, it means yes, a suma. That's the Rebbe learns it. No, why does Rabbi Yehuda worry over here about a double miut, and therefore, a miut achar miut el rabos, and it should include a suma? So where it says, Rabbi Yehuda would hold, Rabbi Yehuda, how bivli das, he says, the pasuk that says "bulvidas" is coming prat lemiskavin hudiyaser. It comes to exclude a person who wants to kill him. Here, that guy's chayiv mises based it, and therefore he's not going to get away with just going to an ari miklat for killing bishkaga. And that's what you need the pasuk "bulvidas" for. And therefore, it's not a mir achamir according to Rabbi Yehuda. Finally, the third statement the Rabbi Yehuda made was chayiv mises based it. He said that a suma is also part of Mises Basin. Where does he get that from? So it's another Gzeir Shava. Asir Rotseach Rotseach Michaive Golios. He learns it out from the din of Chaive Golios, the Horeg Bishkaga. So Rashi explains, in Bemisa, in regards to Misa, it says, Lo Sikhu Kofel Lenefesh Rotseach. Ubegolosiv Lo Neshama Rotseach. So the Rotseach Rotseach Gzeir Shava comes to include the dinim of a suma are identical for a Horeg Bishkaga and a Horeg Bemesin. And finally, Chai v'malkios. How do we know the Suma doesn't have Chai v'malkios? So Asir Rasha Rasha. We have another Xer Shava, Rasha Rasha, and that's from Michai v'Mises Basin. Rashi explains, by the Rasha, it says, in regards to Malkus, in bin hakos ha Rasha, ubimisuksiv, asher hu Rasha lamus. So therefore, we have these Xer Shavas over here to come to connect all the dinim together. According to Rav Yehuda, they all exclude a Suma. Now, this is a good break point. We'll stop over here, but we'll still continue a little bit in the discussion of Rabbi Yehuda's opinions in tomorrow's shir. But with this, we conclude today's shir.